scripture that I have for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now, regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much, but the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So what about eating meat that's been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords, but for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. There is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to the idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that these words that are spoken from your gospels, from your word, will be used to open our eyes and our hearts. Amen. I think it's odd that they spent so much time talking about food in this particular scripture. And I guess if you read the whole book of Corinthians, you would find out why Paul's going into all of this. See, Paul had gone as a missionary to establish a church in Corinth. And in 3 years, he was there for a year and a half. And then a year and a half later, he started getting all kinds of messages saying that the church was in trouble. He was very frustrated with how the church was behaving and knew that they'd become dysfunctional. Corinth was a Greek city that was a very important port for trade. All of the traders coming from the Eastern Mediterranean on their way to Rome would have stopped in Corinth. And so when they stopped there, there were many different kinds of beliefs and customs that were brought into the area. And although the Church of Corinth started out really strong, soon it began to lose its way and get caught into what was going on with the other believers, the ones who believed in the idols. You see, the city started having no self-control. The believers felt that anything that they wanted to do, as long as they did it in Christ, they were good. And so Paul had to send them an urgent message to explain to them that they needed to get out of this way of thinking. So Paul's letters were sent to be problem solvers. What Paul discovered that the church needed was to be realigned with the principles of love, unity, sound doctrine, and respect for authority. Do any of these issues sound like something we know about today? Is there anything that is similar? Have you seen us lose our way with our love and our unity and even our sound doctrine and respect for authority? You see, it wasn't just the food that was really the issue. It was how the church was digressing and getting an attitude that they were better than those around them. And so anytime you have a problem with a relationship, whether it's a church or a marriage or anything else, if you let the love of Jesus that was modeled for us go away, then you're going to have problems. The Corinthian church had lost its love. You know, mere knowledge often manifests itself into pride. I had an example of a prideful moment this morning. I got to the service and I put the computer on and I hooked up and I got the Zoom pictures up, and I was so pleased with myself that I had actually done all of this. And then I realized that nobody on Zoom could see anything other than me, and nobody in the church could see the PowerPoint, and all the walls were crumbling down. And so in my moment of pride, I had to stop and say, wait a minute, there's a problem here. And so I humbly called a friend, Matt, to help me out, and we got things back on target. But you know, if knowledge lacks love and humility, then it doesn't work for anybody. The Corinthian knowledge was marred by arrogance and lack of service. And so where are we today? Where is our love? Where is our unity? Where is our sound doctrine? Where is our respect for authority? Have we become a prideful nation? With all of our knowledge, have we decided that we really don't need Jesus in our daily life, that we can solve the issues around us on our own? I think of the times whenever I've had illness or stressful times in my life. A lot of times those are the easy times to run to Jesus because you know that you need that extra support. But what about the day-to-day stuff? In our day-to-day lives, are we remembering to turn to Jesus to seek his will for our life and to go ahead of us? How do we do this? The most important thing that we can do is read God's word. I think for many of us, it's something that we often try to do but fail. I can't tell you the number of times that I've made the pledge that I'm going to start off in January 1st, and I'm going to read all those chapters that it says every day because I'm going to finish the Bible in no time. And usually I'm playing catch up because I haven't had an opportunity to stay faithful to what I know is true. So, you know, food isn't really the issue. The issue is love. If we have knowledge but we don't have love, we know that knowledge makes us feel important, but it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much, but the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So think for a minute about how we can show love. How do we show love to our neighbors? How do we show love in our community and beyond? Do we pray for our leaders every day? Do we try to seek God's will by reading his word? There's a church that has started for this year. It's called the Bible-Driven Church. And some of you may have remembered at one time, Rick Warren had started the Purpose-Driven Life. And the Bible-driven church, to me, is a similar concept. If you really want your church to thrive, the most important thing for you to do is to get into God's word. Seek his answers. That's what the church of Corinth had done. They had abandoned seeking God's word and they were trying to do things on their own. And that's a very easy human thing for us to do. So I'm going to challenge you to think about your own life. Have you become prideful because of your own knowledge? Have you lost the love modeled by Jesus? If any of these things have happened to you, make sure that you're into God's Word. Read the Bible. And for some of you, you may need to take it a step further. Some of you may not have made a commitment to have Jesus Christ be your personal Savior. We know that in any relationship, if we're not close and relational, if you would only hug the people that you love the most once a year, you wouldn't have much of a relationship. And that's how it is with Jesus Christ. He wants us to go to Him in our brokenness, in our times when things are good. He wants us to be part, to be partner with Him, and to keep our relationship on an open basis, so that we're coming to Him not just when we have troubles, but every day. And if you haven't done so, I would suggest that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins, and then pray that the Holy Spirit will dwell within you and guide you in the ways that you should go, and build that relationship with Jesus Christ. Things will go a lot better if you let the love in. I'm not going to sing this for you because singing didn't go so well. But some of you may know that in 2005, our one daughter, Amy, was in Argentina and had a tragic accident with carbon monoxide poisoning. She was exposed to carbon monoxide for 10 to 12 hours and had a lethal dosage. And we were contacted that they didn't know if she would survive or not. And so we had to try to get to Mendoza, Argentina as quickly as we could. And it took us 3 days to get there. And in that time, I kept thinking, what will we find when we get there? Will we find her alive? Will we find her? They offered us no hope for recovery. We just didn't know anything. But I had a surreal peace about me. And what peace I had came from this chorus that's listed right now. I love you, Lord. The words are, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And even though my head knowledge told me that this was probably a devastating situation where our daughter would pass away, my heart told me, and my love that Jesus gave to me said, don't lose faith. Make sure that you turn to me. In 25 days, we were home with our daughter from Argentina. She had absolutely no side effects. The recovery was nothing more than miraculous. And all of the doctors said she should never have survived. This was, in fact, a miracle. And so I think to myself, you can't just wait for the rough times to seek out a relationship with Jesus. You have to seek it out ahead of time. And then when something like this does come up, no matter what his answer was, I was prepared for whatever way this would go. If he chose to heal her, I was fine. If he chose to take her home, I was fine, because I knew that ultimately this is not my home. This is only the place that I'm walking through. And I get to spend a whole lot of time in eternal life. And so I pray that for you too. I pray that you will have an opportunity to get to know Jesus, have that relationship, know where you're going, and just keep relying on Him for the love that He provides. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just ask you now that we pray for all of the ways that we can serve you. Father, we pray for unity in our nation. We pray for the Lord to confuse and confound the plans of those who operate counter to the truth. We pray that the church, the followers of Jesus, would be the light of the world. We pray that our federal government leaders would recognize, understand, and yield to the truth. We pray that state legislatures will take up their responsibility to review state election systems and expose any corruption or manipulation. We pray that God's people would resolve to stand firm and unwavering in the power of God's might. We pray for the leaders in the church and its members, that we would demonstrate the love of Christ to our neighbors and one another. And Father, we pray that we can openly approach you in our relationship and know that your love exceeds anything else that we can possibly know or understand. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, folks, thanks so much for letting me share with you today.